We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Moments from now, we will join Councilmember Kristen Gislason-Palmer to find out what the city council is going to be up to. And they got a big alcohol beverage thing that it might be deferred, but we'll find out the nuts and bolts of it.
Is that what it's called on the agenda, the alcohol beverage thing?
Well, it's not the official thing. Oh, okay. I don't know, maybe we'll talk to her in a second.
Okay, let's find out.
So, you know, you saw the story about this woman in a cage with the lion.
Well, it was the lion's habitat at the Bronx Zoo, and this video, for obvious reasons, has gone viral. Zoo officials say a woman climbed over a safety barrier at the New York City Zoo in the Bronx and was taunting the lion. You can see her waving to the lion on social media and then climbing over another wooden barrier and stopping at the edge of the moat. And they described it as a serious violation and unlawful trespass. She's lucky to be alive.
Did anything happen?
No, apparently they were able to get her out of there before anything bad did occur. But you just got to wonder, what in the world?
Well, apparently she's never seen a Warner Brothers cartoon with the kid poking the stick at the lion. And then from the lion's stomach, he says, "I'm a bad boy."
Apparently not.
Yeah, Kristen Gislason-Palmer now joins us, New Orleans City Council member. Good morning, madam.
Good morning. Thank you for the intro. Great lead-in story.
Madam Council, yeah. People do stuff, you know, and I'm sure you get the phone calls all the time, and it just makes you say, I don't understand any of this. Tell me what's going on at the City Council today. Ordinance number, is it 32.693?
Yes, it is.
What is all that about?
It's about, it deals with the alcohol beverage ordinances. So in Chapter 10 in the city code is the chapter that deals with how you regulate that. And so we started this process, Councilmember Wynn and I, about 11 months ago, looking at, you know, we had a couple problem nuisance establishments, one in the east. I had one in St. Rock, like a small corner store that when I was in office last time was open up for for 4 years, and there were always dealing drugs and guns, and there were shootings out there, and nobody could really get anything taken care of there. Mm-hmm. And when we met with our HEC director, Juana Marine Lombard, from the state, you know, it was a very simple process that, you know, it's law that you have to have a state alcohol permit in order to have a city one. And there's an automatic revocation. If they take it away, then anybody else in the state also, you have to take it away locally. And it just wasn't very clearly stated in our ABO. And so we're like, well, we can do that. So we opened it up, and then legal department was like, well, since you're opening up Chapter 10, since it hasn't been opened up since the 1950s, can we just update it? And so that kind of began the saga of updating this entire chapter to kind of bring it into the 21st century.
You know, everything is in, you know, verbiage when it comes to law. You can't just say, well, you know, if it's ugly, do away with it, because, you know, everybody thinks ugly is different, and it was a terrible example.
But It is a good example.
So when it comes to nuisance bars, is that defined statutorily, or how do you do that?
Well, again, I think that's a good question. And so when you talk about anything that happens, you have to have rules and regulations that are promulgated that are very clear and open process, right?
Right.
Because you always want to have a due process. You also don't ever want to have something that is subjective and could take away somebody's ability to have a livelihood. So we're very clear about having a due process that will occur with the ABO board that's basically going to create the rules and regulations, and it comes back to the council for a vote. So there's going to be two more bites of that to ensure that due process is met, to ensure that there are hearings, and really to make sure that you know, this is important and a responsibility, and we need to take it seriously.
So you and Councilperson Nguyen introduced it, right?
We introduced it, back in December. And then we heard it first in January at a governmental affairs meeting. And then from that point since to today, there's been a significant amount of input and re-editing. And I just really want to publicly thank the LRA, the Louisiana Restaurant Association, all the various businesses, MACNO, Bear, all these groups, all the different neighborhood associations. Everybody really put something into this. And I also really want to thank all the council members. They've really looked at this very closely. And I think you all know that this council really rolls up their sleeves when they tackle an issue. And so it makes the process longer, right? But I do think it's a good process. And I think the end result is good. We're not going to make everybody 100% happy, but we're doing some really smart business things in here to make it easier as well. Like for instance, definitions had never been updated. So, you know, we have a really great, some new industries coming up in New Orleans with these microbreweries and distilleries. There is really no definition to deal with them and how, and now we have that in there. And I think that's going to make them easier to open and to regulate. Before, if an ABO was denied, there was no appeals process, so we put an appeals process in here. You know, there are issues in terms of when you would have to pay your fees. They were based on the alcohol content, and you would have to literally come in twice to City Hall. And we all know that's a nightmare. So we did it like we have one annual renewal date, which is going to help. You know, and these were suggestions from the business community. And then also, like, we also did stuff for our hotel and our hospitality industry. So, for example, if you're a hotel and you have multiple outlets, right, within one hotel, you only need to get one ABO permit now as opposed to multiple ones. And I think that's a really good thing. And then we also paid attention to the small business owner. You know, currently in Chapter 10, there has to be a named manager on site at all times. We kind of changed the definition of that to responsible party because we know that there's some small bars and small ABOs where you might only have three or four employees. And that way you can name a responsible party as opposed to just one technical manager. And we think that makes it a fair process as well.
I got to ask you about number one. I am not old enough to remember this, but I do know from reading what it is. I think they used to call it bee drinking, did they not?
They did call it bee drinking. But the problem is in our code.
Well, explain, if you will, what it says and what you're trying to fix, please.
So currently what it says on the books, literally, is that if there's a female in your bar who's sitting at the bar and solicits a drink from somebody next to them, the bar can be shut down.
Wow.
Correct. So I could have shut down many bars in my youth.
Damn well you never had to ask anybody to buy you a drink. You know there are guys lined up to buy you drinks.
Now, let's be very clear that we're not talking about this being an office. I don't take gifts. So, but you know, that's just patently unfair. And there's also language in there about lewd and lascivious behavior that could really be subjective, right? And we're in the 21st century. We really don't want to have subjective. We want to have fair and clear laws that everybody understands what the intent is. And that's really what we've been trying to do here.
I think the way it was supposed to work, this bee drinking thing, is that there would be women that were at the bar that were shilling for the bar. They would ask a man to buy him a drink, and the man would, and then they charge a guy like $8 for a glass of iced tea instead of bourbon that they were giving a girl, right?
I can only speculate, sir. I can't comment on that.
I understand. So as it stands now, the new law about that is going to say...
You just took it out. There's not even going to be in there.
All right, so they won't address it at all.
Correct.
All right.
We're just going to hope that men use their best judgment.
That's your first mistake. Yeah. What about outdoor seating?
So currently, according to Chapter 10, you're not allowed, bars cannot have outdoor seating. Full stop. Now, you and I know that we all have neighborhood bars, where it's a part of our culture, mm-hmm. where they've been around for 20 or 30 years. They have outdoor seating, and that's what we like. So now it's called sidewalk seating because it's on public property. So basically, now you'll be able to, and you just have to go through the same process that a restaurant goes through to have sidewalk seating.
And you got to pay for that, right? You got to pay the city?
Yeah, you do. And you know, I don't particularly like that, but according to the state constitution, you can't give away something for free if it's owned by the public. So that's, you know, our hands are kind of tied on that. But at least this way, right, say you got a bar like, I don't know, Marky's or the Old Point, right? And they've been around there for 30, 40 years. And then somebody from out of town moves in next door and they just don't like living next to it. they could technically call and say, hey, you got to enforce the law and you can't have people sitting outside. Now they you don't have that ability. It's also kind of to protect some of our legacy cultural businesses that are good players.
In terms of due process, I guess, if somebody has a in terms of losing their license, what does all of this have to do with maybe who can suspend it? And if it is, how do they get it back? Does it address any of that?
It does address it very clearly when we talk about a due process period. So in there can be no emergency revocation, full stop, or emergency suspension, excuse me, until rules and regulations are promulgated by the ABO board, and then it goes back to the city council for a vote. So it's going to be very clearly laid out. Until any of that happens, there can be no emergency suspension.
What kind of pushback did you get on this, and from whom and why?
This was the piece that we got a lot of pushback from. There's a group, the French Quarter Business League, which is made up of Bourbon Street bar owners and strip club owners, and they had an issue with it. And their issue was really based around due process, which I agree with. I mean, I think their concern was that they don't want to be targeted and they don't want to be unnecessarily shut down, which is why we're very clearly laying out a due process piece that we can take more time on, and it can be, again, a public process. And I also don't think it should be done by the council. I think it should be done by the ABO board with input from stakeholders and lawyers, and making sure that it's done the correct way and in public. And so that's what we're doing, and I think that's a really good process.
Somebody just
I just also want to be clear.
Yeah.
This is not about targeting. This is not about shutting things down. This is about compliance. If you when we started this journey too, and we got these recommendations in, I specifically asked, safety and permits in the city, like how many places have they taken away a license? One in a year. So we're not, that's not the goal here.
So is this gonna come up today, or is it gonna be deferred? And
no, it's coming up today. It will not be deferred.
And you have obviously the votes for it, or you wouldn't bring it up.
I think we do. I think we have the votes for it because I think everybody on the council has worked really hard to find compromise positions and to make sure that this is a thoughtful legislation and that it's fair to businesses. It makes it easier for new businesses, and it's fair to the community and to neighborhoods.
What else is the council going to look at today?
Well, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, so we are looking at that. That will be one of our opening discussions, and then we also have various land use issues.
Somebody texted in, what about neighborhood protections with neighborhood bars? And I guess they're concerned if they live next to a bar that is a nuisance. And did we ever describe what a nuisance was or define it?
So again, yeah, and that's going to be clearly defined, again, within the code. But one of the issues, and I'm glad the neighborhood person texted in because that's also very important. So currently you have to display your ABO permit, right? And a lot of these ABOs, especially neighborhood bars, when they go through the process, there's various provisos put on there, such as, you have to have a trash mitigation plan, or you have to have certain things enclosed or exterior lighting. And these were the provisos that were put on them in order for them to get an ABO permit. So we're having those. They're now going to be required to be displayed where the permit is as well, to make sure, and that's really going to make sure that everybody is in compliance and they're doing what they said they were going to do. I mean, we have to be very clear. This is a privilege, not a right. And alcohol is a controlled substance. You need to make sure that there's a level of responsibility there. And we're just making this process a lot cleaner and easier to enforce and to make sure that everybody knows the rules that they're playing by.
And I know you got to go in a minute, but somebody texted in, when it comes to nuisance bars, how can you hold the business owner responsible for the way the patrons behave?
Well, are we saying that right now every single bar we've ever walked into is crazy? I mean, I'm having a hard time understanding that question.
I think what they mean is that if the bar is known to you, cited for shootings, et cetera, drug trafficking, if it's happening outside of the bar, they're saying, well, how can the business owner control this, and why should they be labeled a nuisance bar?
If the business owner, we've had a problem bar, and again, there's a definition there, where for 4 or 5 years, They've requested from the owner for exterior lighting. They've requested things to be taken care of from the outside, and they haven't been. And there's been consistent issues with shootings, dealings right in front, problems. Yeah, I think if you have a lot of nuisance calls and what that looks like and translates to, you can definitely hold somebody accountable. I think we all know how we keep our houses. We keep our businesses, good businesses. Look, the vast majority, 99% of all these businesses are good businesses, you know?
Text comes in, Tommy, I just tuned in. Who is this woman? I like her.
That would be Kristen Gisselson Palmer, and I'm not soliciting for a drink.
Yeah, New Orleans City Council member. And anything else? You said breast cancer awareness and anything else of substance?
No, just a lot of, you know, as you know, one of the great things that we do over here at the council are land use issues. And so we do have some various land use issues that are coming up to the council today. But this is going to be the main issue that we're focusing on today.
I appreciate your time. Hope you have a great meeting.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
You bet. Kristen Gisselson Palmer, New Orleans City Council member. Phone lines will be open here for a little bit when we come back at 260-1870. And we have covered a lot of ground so far this morning. I get a lot of text here about, well, they did that, so we did that, so why is it different? I'm talking about national politics primarily, because somebody texted in, Rashid Tlaib says MF, but yet President Trump says BS, and people get all upset about that. And I think the question there is, well, she said it, so I can do it. Wait, Rashid Tlaib can say MF, and people lose their minds when Trump says BS. So I guess what I would ask you there, are both wrong? Are both right? Because when you say she can say that, but Trump can't, or Trump can and she can't, I don't understand the logic there. It would seem as though both should or can, or neither should or shouldn't. You with me? Give me a call. 260-1870, Tommy Tucker. Bag in a flash here on WWL. All right, 9:31, 29 before 10 on this Thursday morning. You want to hear some good news? I'm going to give you some right now. The Saints just tweeted this. 1 minute ago, Tampa Bay has returned some of their allotment of tickets, so there are still some tickets available from the Saints for the game against Tampa Bay on Sunday. And I had the tweet and I lost it, but I presume you go to NewOrleansSaints.com and it'll give you all the information you need if, in fact, you want to go. And I would think you would, because it is a huge game. It is a division game. We need to keep the momentum going, and we don't want any empty seats. We want every seat full of people screaming. So go to NewOrleansSaints.com. I wish I could find a tweet, but I can't as I scroll down here. And you can get those tickets to be in that number when the Saints play Tampa Bay. Now, our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll has been asking you all morning, do you completely trust the politicians you vote for? And we thought that was an interesting poll because I guess we began this morning talking about President Trump and Joe Biden. And in case you've not heard, there are some things about Joe Biden that go back to July or May, I think it was. And 94% are saying no, they don't trust the politicians they vote for. 6% are saying yes. And give me a call here at 260-1870. We don't often have time for calls, but we do here. And I'll get you on pretty quickly. Do you completely trust the politicians you vote for? And if 98% are saying no, then how 94% are saying no, then how do you know the other guy or woman is bad and that your guy or woman is good? As it relates to Joe Biden, and this was on NBC News last night, 2013, this is by Josh Lederman, says that he accompanied Joe Biden and Hunter accompanied his father to China. And at that time, Hunter Biden, forming a Chinese private equity fund that associates said at the time, was planning to raise big money, including from China. Hunter Biden has acknowledged meeting with Jonathan Lee, a Chinese banker, and his partner in the fund during the trip, although his spokesman says it was a social visit. The Chinese business license that brought the new fund into existence was issued by Shanghai authorities 10 days after the trip, with Hunter Biden a member of the board. He put in only about $420,000, 10% of $4.2 million. The president said it was $1.5 billion, but in all fairness to everybody, who knows what the truth really is? And my problem with this strategically is that the president knew this was out there, right? Because he talked about it, and because it was in the media. It was in the New York Post and other outlets. So why didn't he concentrate on that, and why would he really even bring this up with the president of the Ukraine? Now, you can argue back and forth. Was there a quid pro quo? Was there not? Did he ask? Was it in exchange for holding up military aid that the president would release it if the aid, that is, if the Ukraine did some spying or at least some investigation of Trump? And I don't know why he did that, because whether you think it was justified, illegal, impeachable, or what, I don't think you can argue that if he had not brought that up, we would not be where we are today. Several former White House officials who traveled with Biden on that trip, and that was in November, told NBC News they didn't know at the time that Hunter Biden had any business interest in China and were unaware of his private schedule while in Beijing, and they said they didn't know that he conducted any business during the trip. So it seems to me, if you're going to go after Joe Biden, you got enough information here with China. Why would you even fool with Ukraine? And if y'all listen a lot, you know that I look at things logically, and I look at it as a flow chart in my brain, right? So I'm thinking, well, if the president uses this, well, then there is no that. And if there's no that, then we're not at the impeachment level, or at least inquiry that I think is going to hurt the country more than it's going to help it. Lou North Shore, hi, you're on WWL. Good morning.
Hi, Tommy. Hey, I was just going to make a comment.
Yes, sir.
I caught the tail end of a question about language. I think Trump and Tlaib and some
yeah,
kind of
please,
like foul language is being used.
Yeah, please be
My
very careful
is,
about how you talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, so.
I don't want you saying any of the words. Yeah, Lou, I don't want you saying any of the words is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, absolutely
okay.
not.
All right.
Because you know what? I grew up in the 50s and 60s. And the words that are used on the radio all the time, and I'm not making,
me.
You know, I'm not criticizing, not like that.
No.
Those words were, you know, the H word and the D word and things like that, you know, I'll say those, because those were foul when I was growing up, but today they're thrown around all the time. You hear it on the sports casting, you hear it on the radio, you hear it all over the place, and nobody even winks or blinks. But I just believe that in the time in the future, I mean, those words that are disgusting now will be normal and commonplace in the future. We could keep pushing the standards and get lower and lower. If I was on a job interview and they asked me a question, and I said, hell yes, or something like that, would we do that? Probably not, because it's kind of like foul, crude. We get other
it's
ways
how you
to,
carry yourself
other words
and
to use.
How you carry yourself in command of the English language, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of words, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of words to express yourself. Why do we have to use those kind of, I think it reflects the intensity of the emotions, and it comes from our hearts. I think the words that we use, you know, describe what's down in the well, you know, when those words come out.
I will say this, Lou, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but
no, that's okay.
I think the refuge of somebody that can't refute a point in an argument is to immediately resort to name calling, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's nothing else. Yeah, that's all.
Because as soon
do,
as you do that, you're telling me you got nothing. You're angry because you got nothing, and the only thing you can resort to is calling me one of those words that you shouldn't use.
Right, it's like an emotional temper tantrum, and I'll just shame you or something like that.
And you just nailed it. For the second time, because the first time you said emotion, second time you said emotion, Newell talks about emotional intelligence, and I think all that does is lower the argument from a logical one to an emotional one, which accomplishes nothing.
Exactly. We've left the prefrontal cortex and our executive order and our thinking brain, and we've gone to the emotional amygdala and all that in a part of our brain where we start getting emotional, then we lose our thinking brain.
Lou, I appreciate your call.
We make wise choices.
We got to go. I appreciate your call, and thank you for listening every day, all right? And I just presume that he listened every day. 9:39 coming back, WWL. 9:45, quarter till 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL. My apologies to Ken Perrette, President of Louisiana Good Roads and Transportation Association, because we're running a little bit late. But, Ken, I appreciate your patience. I really do.
Oh, no problem. It's always good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. It was amazing to see that Louisiana had the seventh worst roads in the country. And what amazed me about that is I thought they would have been higher in terms of worst roads.
Well, we've done pretty well considering the lack of resources. I think it's been a credit to our Department of Transportation Development. They've used what money is available. They've used it pretty wisely, and they're trying to do the best they can with the limited resources.
When you talk about resources, for people that don't understand how the gasoline tax works, would you give us kind of like gasoline tax road repair 101?
Sure. In Louisiana, our gas tax is right now it's 20 cents a gallon, and it's per gallon. See, it's not based on the cost of the gasoline; it's based on the gallon. So, if the price goes up, the tax stays the same because it's based on a per gallon usage. So, it's really a use fee. It's a tax, obviously, but it's based on how much gasoline is used by the motorist and of course, they're paying the tax, so they do get the benefits of the money that's collected, and it goes into a trust fund that can be used only for transportation purposes here in the state.
And the logic there is the more gas you use, the more you drive, the more you use the roads, and you pay more to keep them up, right?
Exactly. Yes. There's a tax on the gasoline. There's also, of course, a tax on the diesel that the most of the truckers use the diesel fuel, so they pay their share through the diesel tax.
I'm just curious about the methodology, and I'm not doubting your numbers at all, but how do you determine like 7th better than 8th and 9th, et cetera, or even 1st and then 50th, the best, I guess, would be, right? Because it's in reverse order?
Yeah, that's a ranking based on data gathered by the Federal Highway Administration. That's the federal agency. And they gather data from all the states every year. The states do a survey of the road situation. They do a very scientific evaluation of the condition of the roads based on the riding quality and the safety and the congestion on the roads. And then that data goes into the federal government, and they rank the states based on who has the best roads and who has the worst. And right now we're unfortunately in that worst category.
So I haven't been to Mississippi lately, Ken, nor Texas, but I asked about the methodology because, you know, a lot of people say that you can tell as soon as you get into Louisiana and cross over from Texas, and maybe it's the same thing coming in from Mississippi. And I guess my question to you would be, how can they do it and we can't keep the roads nice?
Well, Mississippi, not that good a shape either. They have a lot of problems. They're using some of their gambling money resources as well as their gas tax. Texas is a whole different world over there because the state is so big and their economy is so big that they use other resources other than their gas tax for their road improvements. So they have a very huge improvement program. And it's based on their economy and how much other taxes they collect that they can use on roads.
I don't mean to drag you down this hole, Ken, but whether it comes to sales tax and income tax, that's a whole different thing. But I think people sometimes make a false equivalency between us and Texas because it really is apples and oranges, is it not?
Exactly. I mean, it's a whole different situation though in Texas because, like I said, because they have so many other resources other than just a gas tax. They use a lot of their oil reserve monies and other state taxes to fund their road program. So we're kind of way behind the ball on that. Our gas tax hasn't been raised in over 30 years, so we're trying to maintain a current system with revenues that were, you know, that were actually approved 30 years ago, which anybody that's making the same salary that he did 30 years ago is probably in pretty bad shape.
Pretty thin, because you're not eating well, I'll tell you that.
Ken, that's right.
When it comes to backlog of projects where they're approved, I don't know if the word would be funded or not, or they're not funded, but they're on the list. Is there a point where the two intersect where, well, to clear up all of the the deferred ones now, the ones on the list, and then look forward to fixing more roads? Has a number ever been computed as to what kind of tax you would be looking for, what kind of increase from, did you say 20 cents a gallon or 30?
20. The current tax is 20 cents. The state uses the highway department or transportation department uses a very scientific method to evaluate what it would take to upgrade the existing system as it exists, and also to add new capacity that obviously we need in many areas, including in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Lake Charles, and probably Shreveport is the one area that's in pretty good shape, but most of the rest of the state really needs some major projects. Here in Baton Rouge, of course, we need another bridge across the river, and anybody that comes through Baton Rouge knows that it's terrible congestion here during the rush hours because of the congestion on the existing interstate bridge. So yes, it would take a significant increase, and it could be phased in, though, and that's our leadership in the legislature was proposing last year. I'm unfortunately never to get to a vote, but they had a good program that would phase in an increase over several years. In other words, instead of having, you know, it would be too much of a shock to have a big tax increase all in 1 year. So the better way to do it is to phase it in over several years, but it would take, you know, like 3 or 4 years to phase in a significant to get enough revenue to handle our backlog and the new major projects that need to be built.
Ken, do you have any idea what that final number would be? We would build until, and I guess you got inflation going on, future value of the dollar and all of that, right?
Yeah, it's a continuing process to keep the estimates updated. But the backlog of just on existing needs is about $14 billion. It's a big number.
Wow.
And then there's probably another $20 billion in new major construction that's needed. So there are big numbers, but and the only way to do it is to have the motorists, if they want a better system, they're going to have to pony up and agree that we need more revenue. I mean, there's no silver bullet other than money to handle this problem. And I think there's a building consensus around the state among the citizens, and I think they need to make that known to their legislator candidates that are running for office, and you know that this is really important, and it's not just something we can keep deferring because it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse.
Ken, I appreciate your time. I really do. I'd like you to come back when we have more time for you. Are you from here originally?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in New Orleans. Went to what's now Brother Martin. Was Coriezu when I went to it many years ago. Yes, I'm from New Orleans. And anyway, we have a governor's race going on, and we hope that whoever's elected, whether it's the current governor or new governor, I hope when the election is over, they'll call a special session of the legislature to deal with this problem, because it's going to take cooperation between the governor and the legislature to get this job done.
Thank you, Ken. We got to go. We'll talk to you again. I knew that was not a Baton Rouge accent. I knew that was a New Orleans accent. We'll be back, WWL. 9:59, Don Dubuque in for Newell Norman next. And he's very fun to listen to, very entertaining. He's going to talk about lawsuits for coastal damages against oil and gas companies. He's going to talk about students being arrested and charged for fighting on school grounds. And do you think Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the assassination of President Kennedy? I think maybe Lee Harvey Oswald's widow was here last time. I don't know about today. Also, too, he'll have a Saints game experience to give away. Saints Tampa Bay tickets, brunch, all that stuff. Saints VIP tailgate. Listen for it from Don Dubuque coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.